Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. All right, welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. And Ben, before I get into the introduction and stuff, a quick apology for yesterday. Dan and I have been trying to use a service on here called Direct Connect, and it was just a nightmare yesterday, and it cut me off about 30 minutes early, as you know, if you were listening, and would not allow me to sign back on. So we ended up having a shorter podcast yesterday. I do apologize. I am not using the service today, though, so hopefully we will not have some problems. And you notice we are here 30 minutes early. Of course, I am the Big Jack, and we're here 30 minutes early because Schomburg Stu is filling in for Dan the Man.
I'm in the house, ready to rock and roll.
Sorry, I'm looking. I don't have an applause button. Sorry, I'm trying to find something here. But yeah, no, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have anything that fits. Sorry, I could have went with this. So would that have been appropriate? Would, you know, maybe not.
Is that a Sinatra song?
Oh, yeah, I should have Dan put one of those on here. Anyways, you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you didn't manage to get over there yesterday, which you should have, you can still swing on over there, check out the blog that went up yesterday morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, I still haven't found any of Stu's Burners account to promote them, but you can find me on Twitter at BurkTime. Oh, so there you go. I knocked all that out of the way. Now we can continue on.
Yeah, and there's a major sports thing happening over the last 2 days that I wanted to bring to your attention.
The World Cup? Oh.
No, something more important than that. The Sky won their second game in a row last night at Wintrust.
Oh, did
the
they?
Atlanta Dream, but yeah, by 13 points after a 6-game losing streak. So I thought that was important enough to bring it to your attention.
That's good. I still want to go just to see one of the games. I'm assuming it's not difficult to get tickets, and you know they're not far from either of us. Actually, they're kind of in the middle of where you and I live.
No, so, no, not far at all. But I think I will forego that pleasure.
Yeah, you know, I think one of these days I'll eventually stop over there and check out a game just to, you know, just to see what it's like. But I don't think it's anything I'll be going to on a regular basis. So.
No. Well, one quick question. As long as we're talking about that, I need your opinion. We talked about this before. Do you think a good Chicago area men's or boys basketball, high school basketball team could beat the Chicago Sky in a shoot?
You know, you always kind of wonder, you know, you hear people bring it up, and I guess it would depend how the team was composed. I mean, you know, if you get the right well-rounded team that, you know, they could probably beat anybody. And, you know, with what some of these high school kids can do now, you know, I mean, I saw like a 13-year-old kid dunking the other day and some highlights on the Mickey Mouse Network. You know, I would still probably say no, but I bet it would be a really good game. It would probably be a real close game.
Be very competitive, I'm sure. Competitive.
You know, I think the big difference might be the fact is that the women would play defense. And, you know, nowadays, you know, with boys or even men coming up, you have no idea what defense is. So.
Yeah, that's a forgotten art in basketball, unfortunately.
You know, but here, since, you know, it is Thursday, we do have, well, we have some games that should be over that are into extra innings, and a couple that are final. We had the A's beat the Tigers 4-2. Sean Manaea got a win. Michael Fulmer got a loss. Blake Tryon picked up another save for the A's. The Diamondbacks shut out the Marlins 4-0. Zach Greinke got the win. Trevor Richards took the loss. We have four games going on. The White Sox and the Twins are in the bottom of the 11th. They're tied up 1-1. The Mariners and the Orioles are in the top of the 10th. Seattle just took the lead 4-2. After 7, we're headed into the top of the 8th. The Rockies are leading the Giants 7-6. And a big surprise for you, the Cubs offense showed up today. It's 11-3. The Cubs are beating the Dodgers in the bottom of the 9th inning. So there you go.
I hope they hold on.
So yeah, we'll have to see a big surprise there. I was like, whoa, wait! I turned it off. It was 3-3. I came back and they were winning like 8-3. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm just better off number one.
Yeah, 7 runs in the seventh inning, which is pretty amazing.
So yeah, well, you know, and it was really weird because you know the Dodgers went. Kershaw made the start. It was his second rehab start. So he threw just 68 pitches. He managed to cover 5 innings and only gave up 1 run. He left with the lead. Walker Buehler came in, who had just been fantastic for the Dodgers. And, man, he couldn't get anybody out. He ended up pitching an inning total, gave up 5 runs. Then they brought in the next guy was Eric. I want to say it's Goodell is how it's pronounced. He turned around, gave up 4 runs. So it's the Dodgers bullpen that's been a gigantic joke.
Was he on a pitch count today? Kershaw, or just
they haven't officially said, but I'm guessing, you know, looking at his stat line, he did give up 4 hits over 5 innings, but he didn't walk anybody and he struck out 6. So to pull him at 68 pitches, I'm guessing they had a number in mind and that's what they were going to do with him. I'm kind of surprised that he came out there. So. But, you know, he didn't go on that minor league rehab start, so you've got to wonder if, you know, they're just making sure they're building him up, because he struggled in his first outing. I think he only got to two or three innings. So he went a little longer today. You got to figure, you know, next time out, maybe they stretch him, you know, a little closer to 90, maybe even 100 pitches, depending on the situation, and then he should be good to go.
68 pitches over 5 innings is not a lot of pitches. That's pretty. That's average of 13 pitches an inning. So normally he might be able to go 7 or 8, for sure, with that kind of.
Yeah, well, you essentially. Jose Quintana lasted 5 1/3 through 80 pitches. So.
Yeah, he was not. He was not very good today again, and. As I think we may have emailed, I'm wondering if the White Sox are going to wind up with the better of that deal.
Yeah, it how it is. It's always kind of tough to tell at first, but yeah, unless Quintana really starts to kind of, you know, put some stuff together here. I mean, in reality, he needs to be like a 15 to 18 win guy for this team. And it doesn't look like he's headed that route. And, you know, they gave up quite a bit to get him. You know, he was the big name on the market and the Cubs paid the price. And I mean, you look at it, you know, I mentioned to you the other day, Dylan Cease just got promoted to AA. Right. Eloy Jimenez, now that he was moved up to AAA. I don't know. They got a couple other guys. I don't know much about these guys. Let me see if I can get some stats here. Bryant Fleet was one of them. He's hanging out in Double A. He's hitting .266. It doesn't look like he's played a ton. He doesn't.
Yeah, the other two.
Doesn't.
The other two are the big players involved in that deal.
Yeah. I believe this Matt Rose, if I remember quite, was a decent power hitter, but I'm not quite sure if that rings a bell. Yeah, he's in Double A Birmingham as well, where he does have 10 home runs. But in 58 games, he struck out 77 times and he's hitting .197. So he is a very prototypical new wave baseball player. So, you know, you're going to get a lot of power. He's going to strike out a lot and he ain't going to hit for diddly squat. So.
If he's only hitting .197 at that level, that doesn't bode well for him making it to the big show.
No. So, you know, again, that's kind of the new wave there. And Jimenez just got the AAA. He's played 8 games there. He's hitting 276, and he does have two home runs already. So, you know, he's looking more and more like he's gonna be a big time player.
But I wouldn't say for another year, at least another year, get a little more.
Well, you know, I got a feeling he gets a September call up, you know, and they take a little bit of look at him, you know, this September, and you know, then from there we'll see how it goes. You know, I know the guy who may steal the deal for the Sox may be Dylan Cease. You know, he was fantastic in spring training. When he had Tommy John, it was a couple years ago. You know, in high class A, he was really good. He was 9-2 with a 2.89 ERA. He only made one start in double A, and it wasn't good. He only lasted 4 2/3 of an innings and gave up 5 runs. Didn't walk anybody and did strike out 7. So his strikeout numbers are still really good. And, you know, just gave up a few too many hits there, but it's just one start. So, you know, you can't judge much there, but you got to wonder.
Like you said, he's not a polished product yet, obviously.
You know, looking at it, I mean, he's just 22. So to be in double A at 22 and as a pitcher, you know, is probably pretty good. You know, you figure that puts him on pace to get to the majors at 24, or maybe 25, you know, and then he could have a 10-year career there.
Yeah.
And, his strikeout numbers are fantastic. It's just, you know, can he stay healthy or will he stay healthy? And, you know, we'll have to see how the track goes. But yeah, it really looks like the White Sox got the better of that deal.
It does. And we talked about this before, but in my opinion, Quintana looks like he has a lot of stuff, but his fastball doesn't seem to really have much in the way of movement. It's flat. It's straight. And that's when he seems to run into trouble. I don't think he changes his speeds enough in his pitches. What's your take on him?
You know what baffled me is, like, I was curious on why he was such a, you know, a big time, you know, big name guy, because, you know, you look at his numbers and, you know, while, you know, his ERAs were really good in the American League with the White Sox, oddly, except for last year when they traded him, was the only time he was over 4.
Right.
He never really managed to win games. You know, I mean, you look at his win totals and it's 6, 9, 9, 9, and then 13 before they shipped him off last year. And I understand last year they were a terrible team, but his ERA was 4.94. You're not winning a lot of games with that ERA anyways. Over 4 with the Cubs, and yeah, you just wonder, you know, where his issues are. And he's definitely walking too many guys. 37 walks to just 76 strikeouts isn't a very good ratio. So he's got to throw more strikes, basically.
The only two things the plus things I could see about him is that he's durable. He doesn't seem to get injured, and he could throw well over 100 pitches in the course of a game if he's pitching a decent game. That is 115, 120 pitches.
You know,
he can do that.
He's always been a 200 inning guy or close to it. You know, of course, with the way Joe Maddon handles the staff, he probably won't get anywhere close to 200 innings because he'll just get pulled too early in some games. But yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he is a workhorse, and maybe that's something they looked at, you know, because it's hard to find these, you know, these reliable guys. I mean, I read earlier today that, you know, Yu Darvish made a rehab outing earlier in the week at South Bend, and then he had a bullpen session where he had pain while he was in the bullpen session, so he's going to be out even longer than thought.
So it's difficult. This weekend.
Yeah, it's difficult to find these durable guys. So, you know, you definitely need them. And I did see it humorously. I know we didn't talk. I think Dan and I mentioned it earlier in the week, or I mentioned it to Dan, that Stu and his son are actually going to the Cubs game on Saturday. You may get lucky, Stu, because I saw that Chatwood was activated from the paternity list, and he may be the guy you get to see start on Saturday.
So we expect to be there at least 4 hours then, right?
Minimum, depending on how many guys he walks. So
yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, it's official. In case you are not, Cubs won 11-5.
Ah, okay.
Turner gave up a two-run homer, and then you find this amusing. They brought in Marl, the closer, in a non-safe situation, two outs, nobody on base. So he gave up a single, and the next guy almost hit one over the center field wall, but it was caught by Amor right against the wall to end the game. So that gives you cause for concern a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Morrow needed to work. You know, he's probably, yes, he just activated off the team. So, you know, it's nice to get him a little bit of work. And, yeah, with these other guys, you just don't know, you know, anymore what you're gonna get or what you're not going to get. So.
Yeah, I found his injury very amusing, though, and there have been other instances of that in major leagues over the years when players get injured in a very strange manner. That was one of them, of course. And the sneeze.
Sammy
Sosa?
Yeah, sneezing, right, was Sosa's?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Humorously, you know, non-baseball related, I don't know if you saw this, but one of the I was reading one of the WWE guys had to miss some shows because he got bit by a police dog entering the building for one of their shows. So, okay.
That's what I call taking security to the extreme. Yeah, I didn't
see
that.
So, I caught that. It was just one of the articles that happened to pop up when I was just floating around reading some stuff. And it was like, because
maybe it was a heel. Yeah, maybe it was a heel WWE wrestler who stayed in character too much for the suit of the dog.
It was the guy that just came over from Japan recently about a year or so ago. I want to say Nakamura,
is his last name. Is that the one who had that program in Japan with AJ Styles? And then it has continued also in the WWE?
I think they've went that route with it. But, yeah, he apparently was just entering the building for a show, you know, over the weekend, and for some reason the dog bit him. So, yeah,
that dog is definitely a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
No doubt about that,
geez.
Right? I had to throw it in there, Mario. One of my one-liners.
I was just thinking of that when you were like weird injuries. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I remember reading this one. So yeah, hopefully, maybe Moral, you know, gonna have to hire somebody to take his pants off for him, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna volunteer for that though.
No. Well, you know, he's got enough money; he can afford that. So.
Yeah, I think he can. He can. I'm only hoping that, by the way, that those two outs or the last out he got after that hit is that he just said, here, hit the ball, let's get the game over with, type of thing. Which, when you have
just throw a freaking strike. So.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Which Farrell didn't do after he got the first out, he walked the next guy. So, how can you walk a guy with an 8-run lead? Beyond bizarre.
Well, you know, I was watching the ninth inning of the White Sox game. You know, they were down 1-0, and Fernando Rodney got the first two guys out, no problem. Then they had a bloop hit. He hit a guy, and then he walked two guys, and that's how the White Sox tied it up.
Oh, that is crazy. Yeah.
So.
And this guy's been hanging around the major leagues a long time, too. He's got to be over 40.
Oh, yeah. So, he's had a long, long career. And, you know, at one point in time, they had thought, you know, it was over. You know, he was having some struggles and it looked like he was going to be out of the game. And, you know, he bounced back. I'm trying to remember. It was just a few years ago. I think he recorded like 47 saves or something.
Yeah, he had a monster year a couple of years ago. That's right. This is after he left the Cubs, I believe, right? Didn't he have a big year after?
He had 48 before he was a Cub. His numbers with the Cubs were actually really good. He was 2-0 with a .075 ERA. So.
He
had a 39 last year with Arizona, and he's got 17 right now with the Twins, and his ERA is 2.73. So Yeah, he is he's in his what 16th year, and he is 41. He just turned 41 in March.
Well, I certainly hope
So.
that he saved his money and spent it wisely, because he should be set for life after being having that kind of a major league career.
Yeah, you would, you would think, but we do know some of these guys. I know, again, not a baseball player, but I guess I read something today where Conor McGregor's management team came out and mentioned that he's got some money troubles, and I was like, how's that possible with all the money you just made off the Mayweather fight? So,
Yeah, how is that possible? Is it maybe it's a tax issue? Who knows?
But yeah, I was just like, dude, come on, don't be, I get it. You got friends and it's great to have all this money, but don't be stupid. Even if you just put a
Yeah,
million or
really.
two away, same, you could live on that. So,
Yeah, he's kind of
but
nothing more than a glorified thug, the guy. I don't think he has much in the way of smarts, but he cut a good promo at least.
Yeah, it's odd because he seems like the perfect wrestler, of course, for the fact that he's
Right.
extremely tiny. It wouldn't be believable, but yeah, he would be the perfect kind of, heel guy there. So
Wasn't he involved in some kind of an incident a little while ago that people were talking about that could end his career, or some kind of altercation he was involved in? I believe so,
yeah, him
but
and his entourage attacked the bus and started
okay.
throwing stuff at the bus. They shattered one of the windows, and I think one of the fighters in it actually got glass in, I think it was a female, got glass in her eye and had to be removed from the fight card, and a lot of stupidity going on there, with these guys. And I'm sure, well, maybe that's where his money went. I'm sure he had to pay some lawsuits from that. He probably had to pay
Yeah,
off some other
sure.
stuff. So needless to say, I believe he had to turn himself into the police. So I'm sure there's going to be, some fines associated with that and all that other fun
Yeah,
stuff.
exactly right, exactly.
You'd think these guys would learn. You don't, just learn from Allen Iverson back in the day. You don't run with your entourage. That bankrupt him. He kept every friend he ever made from high school through the NBA, and he wasn't willing to give those guys up. And now he's broke and just doing kind of, he's MC Hammer basically. He's the MC Hammer of the NBA. So
Yeah, well, I hope that Rose does not go the same way, because he always seems to have an entourage too, and I hope he has some intelligent financial advisors who are helping him out.
yeah, you wonder, and the sad part is, you know how it is. I mean, these guys are young. They think they know it all. They don't want to listen to anybody. And I'm sure a lot of them just think it's gonna go on forever. They don't realize that there's going to be an end to this. And that's just kind of
Yeah.
how it goes.
Yeah. Because I hope that he's able to go to his meetings and attend his son's graduation when it happens.
So yeah, well, I believe he is a free agent, so we'll have to see if he ends up back with the Timberwolves or if somebody else takes a look at him. I know he played for like the minimum last year. I think he played for like $2 million. So maybe somebody will take a look at him again for that, or who knows? Maybe he'll just walk away.
Yeah, or unless if he could pass the physical, he might they might a team might give him a shot. But it's important that he passes the physical first. And
As long
I
as it's
have my
not a test,
doubts
he's
on
going to
that.
study.
Right.
So he shouldn't have any problems there. So we shall see. But yeah, the fun part about this time of year is, we're only about a month away from the trade deadline, so you get to hear all the names. And of course, Manny Machado is front and center again. I included him in the blog this week, if you didn't read it, sportstimeradio.com. Now they're coming out that it's the Phillies and the Dodgers that are the two teams right now making a push for Machado. I'm beginning to wonder if it's maybe the same guy who writes these articles every day and he just realized what I've been saying for months, that Machado could fit with every team, and he's just filling his workday by writing an article each day about every team he could fit with? Because it's just kind of stupid that every day it's Machado going to a new team.
If indeed it's a fact that the Phillies are looking to get Machado, that means that they think they're going to be in contention in the East for the entire season.
Yeah. So yeah, because you know, no matter who gets him, no matter where he goes, he's going out on the free agent market next year. And, you know, unless you blow him away with a contract offer, and then he still might not even take it because he wants to go out there and see if he can do better. So you're renting a player, and you've got to figure out, I mean, what's it worth to you? And especially a team like the Phillies, you know, when the Cubs made the Aroldis Chapman move, they were a World Series contender already. That was just their one big weakness. So, yeah, they had to give up Gleyber Torres, and he looks like he's going to go on to have a very long, very successful career. You know, he's off to a fantastic start. In the Phillies' case, boy, man, I don't see that team as a World Series contender yet. I still think they're a little bit away. If you give up a boatload to get a Machado, you know, say you just give up, even if you give up your two top prospects to get him, and you don't win it, or in their case, meant not even getting to the playoffs, he walks away from you. Was it worth it?
Only if you made the playoffs, like, as you pointed out. They would have to, it's a wild card, they have a chance to make it as a wild card, but if they don't make the playoffs and they give away so much to get a rental player, then the deal would not be very good for them.
So, yeah, you know, and then even in that case, I mean, if you get into the wild card game and lose, was it worth it? I mean, I think you got to at least get to the division series, right?
At least to the NLDS, right?
So yeah, you know, and I know, you know, right now they, you know, they are holding down one of the wild card spots. They're 2.5 games behind Atlanta. They're in second place, but you know, I still find it hard to believe that. You know, well, I think the only way Washington continues to struggle is if they just can't get healthy. Because it seems like every time you turn around, they got another guy getting hurt. But, you know, I mean, I think if they're full speed and healthy, they're still the best team in the division. So, you know, there's a lot to contend with. And, you know, Atlanta's played well, and I don't see both of those teams getting in the wild card.
No,
so, you know, there's a chance the Phillies miss it. You know, yeah, and I just, I just don't see it being the best move for them.
No, and right now I still think Washington is the team to beat in that division, but now Harper's been in a terrible slump the last few weeks, so he's certainly tapered off also.
So, yeah. I wonder if they could attribute it to me putting him in Home Run Derby and FanDuel every time he's available. Do you think they could link that back to me somehow? Because he's been terrible since I continue to use him.
Yeah, see, as soon as you got him, I got on your bandwagon, he collapsed. Don't tell him that, though.
I wonder if maybe they would. Would they pay me to stop using him? Could I contact the Nationals and say, "Hey, look, this is what's going on"? So.
Yeah.
And
a way to make some nice income, supplemental income, if they go along with what you're telling them.
All right. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm just dying to know if you could answer this. Who has the longest active winning streak in Major League Baseball right now? Let me play the Jeopardy
one.
I can find it.
I was going to say Houston, but I think they signed a lot a couple of games. There you go.
Do the abbreviated version. All right. What was your answer? It wasn't Houston, I can tell you that.
It wasn't Houston, huh? I got to think about this.
Yes, I believe the answer will actually surprise you a little bit here. It is actually.
Oh, wait a minute. Cincinnati? How about Cincinnati?
No, remember they lost a couple days ago. They are on a two-game winning streak again, and they are they've won 9 of their last 10, but they lost the other day. It is actually the Tampa Bay Rays who are currently on a 5-game winning streak.
Yeah, they're still below 500, but they're getting close to the 500 mark.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know there was a lot of, they were kind of talking about it like they were, you know, going to be buyers at the trade deadline. And I'm like, guys, they're still 10 and a half games out of the wild card. Let's hold our horses there a little bit before we start talking about the race.
I don't think
run for the wild card here.
I think we can eliminate them from the possibility of getting it as a wild card, considering who.
Well, you know, it's funny. Yeah, all they want now in baseball is for everybody to sell. You know, if you're three games out of the wild card, they think you should be moving all your players and going to get as many prospects as you can. But for some reason, yeah, with the Rays, and it was just yesterday I heard it, they were talking about, well, you know, they could be contenders. It's like, they're 10 and a half games out of the, what are you guys talking about? So, I just thought it was humorous that Tampa Bay is the team that should not be selling. But like Oakland and, you know, those teams who are also legitimately rolling should be selling their guys. You know, like I just heard a guy today say that the A's need to deal Blake Tryon because they could get a couple really good prospects in return.
Well, that's a risky move because, well, Oakland still, they're pretty far behind though, even though they're over 500.
Well,
they're still five. Yeah, they're 500, but they're 10 and a half behind.
Well, yeah, but they're only seven out in the wild card. You know, they're 8-2 in their last 10. They're on a four-game winning streak. So they've been playing a lot better. So, you know, and I actually think they're the next team. You know, it's the Yankees, the Mariners, and then the A's in the wild card standing. So they only got one team in front of them to get into the wild card game. You know, it's not like Tampa, who I think
is a pretty big gap. That's a big gap, though. That's a big seven-game gap with the Yankees and Seattle being far ahead of them in the wild card.
You know, is it a big enough gap to dismantle your team?
Well, anytime a team is over 500 by the All-Star break, there's always a chance, and they're five over, so they've been playing pretty solid ball. But it's still
They're another team with a slew of injuries. I mean, not only do they have former outstanding Cubs Brett Anderson and Trevor Cahill on the DL, they're missing three other guys that they had projected in their starting rotation in Daniel Gossett, Daniel Megden, and Andrew Triggs. So they're doing fairly well. You know, their starting third baseman Matt Chapman is out. It looks like he'll be back soon. And then they lost Jarrell Cotton.
Bless you.
Thank you. So yeah, they're doing another team that if it gets healthy, I don't think anybody's catching the Astros. They look like the best team in baseball, even though Seattle is only three behind. You know, I think when it kind of works out, the Astros are going to kind of be standing alone. I'm always kind of baffled when it's like, oh yeah, they got to sell. You know, you got to take these assets here and that, you know, they've got to get what they got for them. And it's like, why, you know, can we, can we try?
It's amazing how strong the American League is this season. I mean, when you compare the American League to the National League, what a difference. I mean, you got Boston, you got New York, you got Houston, you got Seattle. So
yeah, and even Cleveland has been around
That's right. Cleveland has opened up a huge gap in the Central. Forget about they're only eight games over 500, but Lucas in second place. Then a team the Cubs play, Minnesota. Of course, they're eight games below 500. Yeah. And they're second place.
But it is.
We know that's a lock. In fact, that's probably the only division right now in baseball that's a lock is at the American League Central. Well, the other ones are all, you know, the West and the East and the American League are close. The East and the National League, they've got three teams involved there and three teams in the Central. And I don't know if you consider the Giants, maybe the Giants in the West, so maybe three teams involved in the West and the National League West. But the Giants are over 500.
Giants are only five out, you know, so, you know, it is just
right.
June. You know, we're not quite to July. So they're definitely still. And I just think it's funny that, you know, remember after the first maybe month or so of the season, the guys had Arizona and Colorado running away with the West Division. And Arizona's still hanging around. You know, they struggled for a while, but Colorado's now actually under 500 after the start they got off to.
Yeah, I meant to ask you that. In fact, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, was what's causing – they're 3 games below 500, which is a team that everybody thought was a top contender in the West. What happened to them?
So, you know, I mean, it's – you know, like most teams, and especially in Colorado, you know, they can't get and don't have quality pitching. You know, I mean, who in the right mind wants to pitch there? So, you know, I mean, their bullpen is very good, but you've got to be able to get it to the bullpen. And I mean, when you start looking at their stats here, Kyle Freeland's got a solid ERA at 3.29. Everybody else is well over 4.5, and three of them are over 5. So, you know, you're just giving up runs right and left. And
yeah. You know, it's great to have power, and a lot of teams have power, but I still think that pitching and defense is what will carry a team throughout the course of the season into the playoffs.
Well, you know, like the weird thing with Colorado is they're getting beat at home. They're actually over 500 on the road, but they're 7 games under at home. And, you know, that's kind of strange because, you know, obviously they're built for that park, you know, offensively, and it's just not working out.
Strange.
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Otto has been fantastic and Story has bounced back, but you know,
hey,
they're, you know,
year.
Charlie Black dead last year, so
certainly Story, as you mentioned, has a comeback player of the year award. The way he's playing this season, he's having a very good year.
You know, but remember, I mean, Charlie Blackmon was an MVP contender last year, and he hit almost, you know, like 330 something. You know, this year he does have 14 home runs, but you expect that in Colorado, but he's hitting just 278. So, you know, you kind of wonder. And then for some reason, you know, they had a prospect, you know, Ryan McMahon, that it looked like they were going to kind of invest in, and I was wondering if maybe, you know, he would get an opportunity to play every day. And for some reason they brought Carlos Gonzalez back, and you know, I actually like Carlos Gonzalez as a player. I've always kind of been a fan, but you know, I mean, he's 32, his time is kind of done there in Colorado. So you just kind of, you know, you always wonder with a team. I mean, you know, Mr. Fantasy always yells at me for this with my made up fantasy team, is that I like to hold on to my guys too long. And I'm just wondering if they're kind of hanging on to guys too long here. And, you know, you just don't know.
Well, not only is that not unique, but the same thing happens sometimes in management in terms of baseball teams. One, I remember the Cub teams of a few years ago, older team, the fans loved them. So the management said, let's stay put, because they had a good year last year. Well, didn't work. They fell on their face the following year. So sometimes it's not a good idea to fall in love with the players that you have, both in your end of it, the fantasy leagues, and also in the actual management of the baseball teams.
No, well, you know, and we've seen it time and time again. You know, a team can go out and have the best bullpen in the world 1 year, so they bring everybody back because they believe they've got it figured out, and for whatever reason, it's not the same. So, you know, it's difficult to make those calls and, you know, figure out who should go and who should stay and all that stuff. And I get it. You know, Cargo's been a, you know, he's been a long time Rocky, and, you know, obviously he came back cheap, but you know, you got a 23-year-old kid who needs every day at bats at the major league level. And, you know, instead of allowing that to happen, they've bumped him up and down. He can't get anything going at the major league level. You know, he's hitting 211. So he's back down in the minors now to get every day at AAA. This doesn't help your team or your problem. You know, you just can't continue to bring these guys. Eventually you need to work in younger players.
And even if it means that they start out slow in terms of hitting, you have to stay with them. As I always pointed out to you, I think Willie Mays started out 1-for-24.
Right.
But they stayed with him.
Well, you know, then
I guess they made the right decision.
Well, Sandberg, 32 or something?
Yeah, sure.
So, You know what I mean? You know, obviously we're not saying that Ryan McMahon is going to turn into Willie Mays or Ryan Sandberg, but you know, you need these at bats. You know, these are key at bats for guys at this stage, and they're just not. You know, I really think they did him a disservice. And I know, you know, I know they're going to say, well, you know, he's 23. He can just, you know, we can do it next year. Well, yeah, okay. Well, now you're a year behind. So, you know.
Yeah. And also doesn't help a rookie's confidence when these things happen.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the, you know, the one thing where, you know, I will give the White Sox credit. I mean, they're running their young guys out there and they're playing their young guys. You know, they're not trying to fill in with veterans here and there, obviously with the exception of Abreu, but he's still a very good player. So, you know, they're taking their lumps, and we'll see if these guys develop.
Yeah, they're of course, they got the same fan base, whether or not they're win or lose. It doesn't really make any difference with the White Sox.
Well, you know, and the Cubs did it too. I mean, they did it the right way. They played their young guys, and they took their lumps. You know, I mean, they brought in a veteran here and there. I know you were very excited to see Edwin Jackson make a start for the A's the other day. He's still hanging around at the major league level, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, they did a nice job of mixing these guys in, and you know, it's you know, you don't need a veteran kind of hanging around taking at bats away from guys. And you know, so
and didn't Jackson have a respectable start though when he came back just recently? I thought it was okay, right?
I believe he actually did. I can double check and get the official numbers here for you. I would assume he's probably going to get the opportunity to make another one, being that the A's are just constantly hurt. Yeah, he went six innings, six hits, gave up just one run, and struck out seven. So yeah, he did well.
That's a pretty solid start, right?
Yeah, well, especially, you know, by today's standards, you know, six innings is a lifetime out there.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, he only one run. Sadly, he got a no decision. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, I'd like to think it's enough to earn him another start down the line there.
He's been around such a long time. Has he been a pretty durable pitcher, or has he had any injuries, any serious injuries throughout the course of his career?
You know, I don't believe so. So let me see what they have stat-wise here for him.
It seems like he's been around forever.
No, you know, yeah, it looks like he's been, you know, pretty good. I mean, obviously with the exception of the fact that, you know, he's the last few years he's bounced up and down between the, you know, the majors and the minors, and he's played for 13 or different teams now. But, yeah, he's been, you know, once he kind of established himself after the Dodgers sent him to Tampa Bay back in 2006, you know, once he made that move, he's been, you know, really good and really durable, and, you know, he's been a starter and a reliever. So
if a veteran, and this, you probably know the answer to this, if a veteran pitcher, say, for example, not quite good enough, he bounces back and forth between the majors and the minors. When he gets back to the minors, he's still getting a major league salary. Am I correct? As long as he's established himself and he's a veteran and has had some years of experience at the major league level.
You know, it depends on how your contract, of course, is worded. You know, like some guys have two-way contracts where they're paid one thing if they're in the majors and one thing if they're in the minors. Let's see. Do they have Jackson's contract information here by any chance? Sometimes they have it. No, it doesn't look like they have it for – oh, no, wait. Yeah, well, I know he's getting – $100,000 of his salary this year is being paid by the Washington Nationals. I assume the A's are making everything else up that gets him to the major league minimum. So,
right.
What is that? Maybe $4,000. I think the minimum is like $500,000. So,
yeah, I'm sure he's not hurting for income. But it's interesting that you pointed out. I wasn't aware of the fact that there could be a difference in a guy going back and forth between the majors and minors. There might be a change in their salary, depending on if they're at the, say, for example, the AAA level or at the major league level, if they're a veteran at least.
Yeah, well, I know, like, when the Dodgers sent Yasiel Puig down a couple years ago, there was no change in his salary because he didn't have, you know, his contract wasn't written like that. For, you know, a journeyman like Jackson, as has been a few years, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a two-way deal and, you know, he gets paid a certain amount at AAA and then a certain amount when he's with the A's. So,
yeah, that's probably sounds like the most likely scenario. Pugh, he's kind of a disappointment for the Dodgers, hasn't he? They thought he was, he had such great potential, but he's just an average type player at best.
Well, you know, he got out of the gate so fast, and there was a lot of hype. But I think he's been better. Oh no, I thought he was better this year than he was. But yeah, he's 259. So yeah, he's not off to a great start. I was mistaken there. You know, I mean, obviously he's still a great defender. Yeah.
Sometimes he has some hiccups on the outfield, though. I've seen him have a few cramps, brain cramps out there. Although he's usually a pretty decent fielder.
So, yeah, well, you know, I guess he's not far off from his career average. He's a career 279 hitter. So, we'll see if he gets back to that point by the time it rolls around. But, yeah, he made that big splash back in 2013. And, you know, he had a solid 2014. But, yeah, after that, he's kind of came back down to earth a little bit, I guess you could say. So.
And haven't there been a couple issues with him running on ground balls, that kind of thing, in terms of hustling down the line?
There's a time or two. I know it seems there's an issue with that with some of the younger guys. I know his teammate Cody Bellinger, Dave Roberts pulled from a game for not running out of ball earlier this year. So,
yeah,
you know, definitely a younger thing, I think.
I think I happened to buy his one time, too, which is unusual for him. He's a pretty intense. But I think he didn't run out of
You know,
not
I get it. You know, if the time and, you know, if you're in a bad streak, you don't hustle something out. But, you know, it's a good lesson for, you know, guys to learn. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with being put in your place, no matter how much money you make. And, you know, I wish they would do it more often.
Yeah, you don't see it done very often anymore.
So, you know, we'll have to, you know, just one of those things. So, but yeah, you know, who knows? So, you know, with the win, the Cubs go to a game and a half back because Milwaukee plays tonight.
Well, they only gain a half a game.
Well, they were two games out of the start, so they should be a game and a half now, right?
Right, and then Milwaukee plays, what, Cincinnati tonight?
Yeah, they're in Cincinnati tonight. So, like we talked before, Cincinnati's been hot. You know, 9 of their last 10, they did win their last 2 in a row. So... We'll have to see if the Reds can keep it going. I guess they've been playing .500 since they fired their manager. it's kind of strange how those things go.
Yeah, I take a look at that. That team scares me. They have a lot of firepower in their lineup. They got some great hitters on it in that team. So it shouldn't surprise us that they're starting to play better ball the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, you kind of wonder if, you know, their pitching ever comes around, if they'll be, you know, if they'll be anything. I mean, they are really young, you know, with the rotation. Besides, oddly, you know, they had Homer Bailey, who just can't stay healthy, and he was the old guy in the rotation at 32, and he was the worst one. So, yeah, you just kind of wonder if they can find a way to keep guys healthy. You know, maybe they could start to get going, because, you know, they've been rebuilding this team now for 6 or 7 years, and it's been kind of a disaster.
Starting lineup on paper, and they're no slouches. They got some talent there.
You know, they got some interesting, you know, interesting names, you know, that go. I mean, obviously we know Votto is one of the better players in baseball, and you know, Scooter Jeanette really found himself with the Reds. He didn't play like this with the Brewers. So,
Well, he wasn't as good as this with the Brewers, but he was pretty solid for them. But he's always been a good ball player, I thought. And
yeah, but not like this. Not like this. He's always been solid,
not 330 plus average type, right?
Well, that and even, you know, the 13 bombs, he was never a big power hitter in Milwaukee. So.
Well,
you know, but
one
yeah,
of the,
you know,
I hit home run.
Yeah, you know, I've been waiting. You know, Peraza was a great hitter in the minors, and he really hasn't shown that at the major league level. I mean, he was a big time 330, 340 hitter it coming through the system, and it hasn't translated. I mean, I know he's hitting 270 now, so he's up from where he was, but you know, you got to wonder if he's gonna get there. And you know, I was wondering what they were going to do with Suarez because their top prospect is a third baseman. But I think he just went on the DL and is done for the year. So they may not have to answer that until the off season now.
Right. That's too bad when those things happen. I mean, those injuries that really derail a team, especially when there's a good prospect in your system and then he gets hurt and he's out for the year. And it's tough. It's not easy to deal with.
So, but yeah, cause you know, it's weird cause like they're rebuilding, but you know, they've been rebuilding for so long that the guys they started to rebuild with are starting to push 30. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to kind of wonder, you know, if and when, and you know, their pitching staff is really young. So it's kind of an odd situation. You know, by the time the pitcher's mature enough to handle the major league level, the hitters may be too old.
Yeah. That's why it's so hard to combine these things, to get all that together in one fell swoop. So at least they have a legitimate chance of making the playoffs. You need a lot of different factors to do it.
Yeah, it's weird. And that's what always drives me nuts when I, you know, watch the TV and these guys just automatically think that this is how you do it. You tear it all down and you rebuild it. You got to remember that it's only worked for the Cubs and the Astros. And, you know, the Astros took 2 years longer than anybody thought they were going to take. So, you know, and I mean, the Cubs haven't been back since. You know, they had the big run. They got the win. And they really, while they get into the playoffs, they don't seem like a World Series contender. You know, like I don't look at the Cubs as a World Series contender right now. But, you know, these guys, you know, you listen to these guys on television and they make it seem like it's so easy. Oh, yeah, you just deal away all your star players and you bring back all these guys in the top 100 prospects. And then, you know, you run them out there with a couple minimum wage veterans you sign and let them develop and you're winning World Series. No, it doesn't work like that in baseball. Yeah.
How many prospects have we seen over the years have failed dismally at the major league level?
Right.
That's the thing. They don't take into consideration. They're not always going to be a major league ball player, no matter how good they're.
Yeah, you know, and that's right. And it doesn't matter where you get them in the draft. You know, I mean, there's been guys who've been picked first that have washed out, and, you know, guys who've been picked 31st that have washed out. You know, and, you know, just the same, there's been guys who picked 331st who've had really good careers. So, you know, it makes me goofy that it's like, yeah, well, you know, we got to see these guys tear it down. You know, it's time for these guys to rip it all up and, you know, let's get rid of all these guys. And, you know, and then, of course, there's the fact that they don't take in consideration that you got to find takers for these guys. You know, I mean, you just can't call a team and say, hey, we're going to give you this and this. It's time for you to give me this. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
You know, like the Orioles are the perfect example. You know, they're the team that's supposed to rip this all up. Okay, well, that's great. You know, you got Manny Machado, who I'm sure a lot of teams, as we know, would like to have. But again, he's in the last year of his deal. How much are you really going to get for him? You know, I mean, they're making it seem like you're going to get three or four prospects from Machado, and I can't see a team giving that up for a half a year.
Yeah, it's a rental. Unless a team like the Dodgers, who have deep pockets, and you mentioned that they have expressed possible interest in getting Machado, they have enough money to not only get him, but to offer him a big, big contract for the future as well.
Yeah, but are they going to be willing to give up what it takes to get him? I mean, when you look at your organization and, you know, they say, we want, you know, your top three guys or three of your top five, are you really going to willing to give that up for a half a year guy?
Yeah, they say only with the idea that maybe we can sign this guy to a multi-year deal after the season's right. over with, because we have the funds to do it. But it's a crapshoot, though. It's a real crapshoot.
Yeah.
Like you said, they may offer him a mega deal, and he'll say, no, I want to see what I can get in free agency first.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think, no matter who gets him, he's going to go out on the free agent market because he's going to want to know what those numbers are. You know, and I mean, especially, you know, with the year he's having, I mean, he's hitting .303, he's got 19 bombs, he's driven in 55 on a horrible team. You know, imagine what numbers he could put up if he's in the middle of a good lineup. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of, it's kind of interesting. You know, and they have some other interesting names. You know, Adam Jones is in the last year of his deal. I don't think he would bring a ton back, but he could be a decent guy for a contender to use. Trumbo's the same way. I mean, he's a big time power hitter. You know, you could go there, but, you know, their other big keys is, you know, they have Brad Brock and Zach Britton in the bullpen, who are two really good guys, and everybody needs bullpen help. I think this is where, if the Orioles were going to make a move, this is where they could get a good return from.
Yeah. Yep. They would get something nice. I think for Britton especially, they would be able to get some good prospects in return. No doubt about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. I mean, he's only given up runs in one of the games he's appeared in. So it looks like he's rounding back into form. If he's anywhere close to the guy he was a couple years ago, and, of course, the difficult part with both these guys is they're in the last year of their deal also.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you have to decide how much is too much to give up for him.
That's always the big question, whether or not you can deal with a half-a-year player. And who you get in return.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you can guarantee me we're going to win a World Series, well, hey, I don't have any problems with giving up, you know, whatever you need. Hey, what do you want? Here you go. Take it. But, you know, those aren't that easy to come by. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
like
it doesn't always shuffle out that way.
Like you pointed out, that was a big thing the Cubs needed in 2016. So they went out and got a rental player and it helped them, despite what Madden did with the guy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was their exact need.
Exactly, but it doesn't always work that way.
Last year they needed one more starter, so they paid the price for Justin Verlander.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, that I can understand that. I mean, it definitely worked out for both these teams, but yeah, I mean, doesn't always go that route, you know. It's kind of like, so don't want to, you know. I mean,
everybody thinks it's kind of a thing. It's automatic. Oh, we'll do this and then we'll get that, and here we go.
We'll be back again next Thursday. We'll have a few more weeks of class. So. Listen to the podcast and the podcast.